And then so I was tied up in knots with this thing. For 2 weeks, I wrestled and I wrestled and I wrestled. And finally, the Lord convicted me. He said, Greg, you're in worry. You're full of anxiety. And I was. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about this. He said, you got anxiety. You have no peace. You don't have any joy. He said, you're out of my will. I said, okay, Lord. I said, Lord, I'm casting all my cares on you. And I believe you're going to see me through it somehow. Somehow you're going to take care of me. So I refuse to worry about this 1 second longer. I'm going to do the best job I can do, but I ain't worrying about it. I ain't losing no more sleep. I'm not going to let this rob me of my joy and my peace. And you know what? The peace of God and the joy of the Lord came back in my soul. And you know what? I come out of that clean. God showed me the importance of me maintaining my joy and my peace in the midst of an adverse circumstance. Because when you allow God to fight your battles for you, he knows how to fight them. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. See, this is the value of joy. And I said, I could have worried about that and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And just been crying and staying up all night long. And you know what? You know what? I just kept right on going. Because I learned how to trust God and how to walk in joy and peace in the midst of the circumstance when it's bad. Sometimes God will just show you something is bad. I believe the Holy Ghost is showing me this ain't going to be good. And I said, well, Lord, what do I do? He said, don't worry about it. Just keep your joy and your peace. And so when we talk about it, I say, you know, glory to God. And I kept my joy through the whole thing. God fought my battle for me. Amen. God fights your battle when you walk in joy. That's strength. It allows God to release his strength in your life. See, it ain't God making you so strong. The joy of the Lord is my strength means that God's going to use his strength on your behalf. How many of y'all see that?
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming off of the mountains of Mississippi,
the
flat plains of West Texas, and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
That washed us from our sins and set us free. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you today for this opportunity now to hear your word. We pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry to meet us in the text and tell of the truth that we're teaching today, that every hearer's heart right where they are might not only hear you, but heed you. And oh God, we thank you for giving us illumination and understanding. Lord, meet us again in that place you desire us to be. And oh God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, all glory, all honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. You know, I have been challenged to challenge the people of God.
to continue to keep their focus on the Lord and to keep looking in front of them and not behind. The devil's desire all through Scripture has been to keep the people of God's eye off the prize. Keep them disheveled and keep them unfocused so that he could keep them from walking into what God wants. So we want to again move. There's one verse that's just been in my spirit, and I just want to talk just a little while from it this morning, found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, if you really want to know what I do, is this: forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, your best is before you and not behind you. Your best. Encourage your neighbor. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor. They might not want you to touch them, but just touch them lightly. Say, your best is before you and not behind you. Now, if you believe that, give God some kind of praise in this house. Paul is challenging the church, if you will, at Philippi to keep their focus on Christ and the prize that is before them in spite of any personal challenges, church challenges, and or circumstantial challenges. Keep their eyes focused on what God has for them before them and not over the issues and the situations and the circumstances that have probably discouraged them, disappointed them, disillusioned them, made them cranky, hard to get along with, made them bitter and mean and sour and sorry. Forget about those things, because listen, when you realize that the things that caused that have passed, then you need to realize that if you remain where something else has passed, you're there by yourself. Now, I'm saying this because I want somebody to understand this. Maybe this may not be your message today, but just keep living. And if you live long enough, you have experienced what I'm already talking about. But there are some people that are still upset with folk that done stuff years ago. Them people done went on with their lives. Them people are happy and adjusted or whatever they are, but they ain't where they were when they made you mad. Hurt you, upset you, did whatever they did. They've gone on, and there you are still pouting and still mad, still angry, you bitter, everybody's this and nobody's that and all the rest of that stuff because of your experience that you could not get beyond, not past. Now listen to this, because this is so important for the believer in every area of life, every area of life, every area of life, sacred, secular, it doesn't matter. This is a truth that we need to understand, that you need to realize that there are things that will come, both good and bad, that you're going to have to get beyond. You need to concentrate all of your energies and your positive thinking and all of your forces on what's ahead of you and not on the stuff that's behind. Let me linger in this verse a moment, if you will. Look again, because when we see this one thing that he does is broken into three parts. The first thing he says is, forgetting those things which are behind. That's the first thing. He forgets the ground that he's already covered. He's already run that part of the race. He's already gotten past that part of the course. There's no need to look back and see that he's already done, because he's already accomplished that. Yeah. He starts off with a very important word in the first word of this verse when it says, brethren. Now, this means brothers and sisters. Listen, because he's talking to believers. He's not talking to people in the world.
That's right.
And that's why we've got to be careful when we interact with people in the world, not to act like people in the world. We have to love folk who don't love us. We've got to treat folk right who don't treat us right. We've got to do good to those who despitefully use. See, we can't take the mentality of the world and think that we're going to progress in the things of the word. We can't reflect the world, but rather the world should reflect us. So he's talking to brothers and sisters of the faith when he says, brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Listen, he said, let me use myself for an example. I may be in this place with Christ, he said, but I want to let you know I'm not yet where I'm going to be. I've not reached the goal that I'm striving for. I'm not where I'm going to be. Things ain't perfect with me yet. He said, but take me for one example, if you will. The one thing that keeps me looking ahead is the fact that I've made up my mind I'm not going to look behind. The one thing that keeps me moving, even if I have to move at a snail's pace, is keeping my focus and making myself, remind myself that my best is before me and not behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many of us live on memory lane.
What you say?
Too many of us live in past glories and glooms.
Yeah.
Too many of us live back in the time when, back in the day. I got news for you. The truth of the matter is, not a whole lot of us really want to go back in the day. We talk all of that talk. You know, but the truth of the matter is, with what we've experienced and how far we've come and all of the things that we've accomplished, life today is far easier than it ever was back in the day. Talking about, oh, it was so much better back up in the day. Well, why are you changed? Why you ain't still riding horse and buggy? Ain't nobody say you can't do that. Why you ain't still lighting candles and kerosene lamps and walking around the house? You ain't got to have electricity on. Ain't nobody, look, ain't nobody say you can't build an outhouse in the back of your house and get out in the middle of the night or get you one of them little tubs. Don't sit here and look holier than thou about all the back up in the day. I remember when. That is not as glorious as we pretend.
That's right.
To make one of the reasons why we like to say back in the day and all that behind is because the folk we're talking about didn't know us then. Y'all will catch that on your way home. And so back in the day can be as glorious as you wanted it to be. Because you ain't had many witnesses where your situation is concerned to bear witness to that. But listen to what he says. He says, as he speaks to the brothers and sisters, he says, but this one thing I do, broken into three parts. The one thing holistically is keeping my focus where it ought to be. And in order to keep my focus where it ought to be, there is a process to doing that. And the first thing that I must do is realize that there are some things in my past. And I want to throw this out parenthetically, that everything you've experienced in your past has brought you to your present. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, it is all you was used and served as a part of the process to bringing you and developing you into who and what you are and to the place where you are. Now listen at this. As we look at our lives, and some of us are happy about where we are, some of us are not happy about where we are, but none of us are where we really ought to be. So we can't look at each other and draw a standard by looking at each other. Christ is our example. And so when we recognize that no matter where we are, we're still yet short of where we ought to be, there is, again, a need, a desire for us to focus on what is before us. But too many times, we are bombarded, we are hoodwinked, we are hindered by the ghost of the past. ghost of the past. Now, let me just throw this out again parenthetically so you'll understand that everything in your past ain't been bad. And the truth of the matter is that it's some good things that have passed that you're still holding on to in the past. Did you get what I just said? I said there are some good things that have passed. They've gone on. They've moved on from that point, and yet you're still holding on to them in the past. Some of us are still in stuff we're in, not because it's good now, but we remember the past. Some of us are still holding on, hoping the past will come back again. Got a hint? Helpful holy hint is past. Touch your neighbor and say, it's past.
It's past.
Tell him it's all right. It's past. Now, here is the problem. If you don't let go what has passed, you cannot position yourself for what's getting ready to come. If you do not let go of your past, you cannot position yourself for what is getting ready to come, what God is getting ready to do. See, a lot of times, again, in our experiences, good, bad, different, ugly, etc., there are things that we cherish and hold on to that the enemy has caused us to endear when the Lord has desired us to release so that we can look for the better things that He's promised to bring to our lives when we recognize that it means trusting God and letting go. Some of us are fearful of what the future holds. I got news for you. When you look at your present, can it really get much worse sometimes than it is? Huh? I mean, think about it. Think about it. Sometimes what you're holding to is far worse than what your future could ever be. But you don't want to trust God. You don't want to believe God. You don't want to let go of the safety net and say, God, I trust you. I trust you. Because here's what I know. Whatever is truly of you, whatever is truly for me, you're going to give it to me.
That's right.
You're going to deliver it into my hands. And listen at this. If I let go what God does not want me to have and yield myself to Him to prepare me and my heart, don't you realize then that as I trust God and walk by faith, that pleases God, and God will please me greater than I have ever been pleased before? See, sometimes God just wants to see where your heart is. Check Abraham out and his experience with bringing Isaac to the mountain and offering him. God just wants to know sometime, will you trust Him enough to let go and believe Him for what He truly has for you? What He has said, what He has promised, what He has declared. So the first thing Paul says is, listen, I've learned to put my past in the past. Yeah. I've learned to release. Tell somebody, disconnect from your past. Now, I know that's difficult because the past, you know, that's all some of us are living for. The past, but you got to disconnect from the past if you want to go into the future. Because I got news from you. If you endear the past, you also deal with the ghost of the past in the present. And if you're scared of ghosts, the best way to get rid of them is to get rid of the past. Because what ghosts will do is always remind you of what was, not of what is to come. Did you hear what I just said? See, that's what folk with baggages and issues have. They have the ghost of the past. That's why if anything looked like it was in the past, they get defensive. They get, just irritable and antsy and all the rest of that. Well, that looked like you going back your old way. Look like you knowing what you used to do. Blah, 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 blah. Because you still holding on to the past. You got unforgiveness in your heart. You've not moved on before that. Now, listen at this, because again, he determines to look at his future by forgetting his past. Second thing I want you to see is that because he has released himself from the past and he has allowed that to be behind him and not before him, the next part of that verse says, I want you to see this again. after he lets go what's behind him, there is a conjunction in the word and he says, and at the same time, reaching forth. Mm-hmm. Reaching forth. Now, just there's so many pictures that I can paint with someone having something that they are holding. Let's suppose that you're in a life-death situation and you're clinging on. Let's say you had a boat accident or whatever the case is, and you're holding on to one piece of wreckage trying to keep from going down. And the lifeboat comes and they extend, you know, a rail out for you to grab hold of that. Now, you've been holding on to this piece of wreckage that has not yet sunk. But here's what you got to realize, that the rescue boat is out here with someone extending a pole to pull you from that place into the place of rescue. But you have got to learn that you got to make a choice. You can't hold on to that that's holding you up and reach out for that that's going to rescue at the same time. You're going to have to make a choice, because you're going to either hold on to this and suffer the consequences, or you're going to have to let this go. And listen to this. When you let this go, you're reaching. You might let it go slowly, but you're letting go and reaching at the same time, because what you realize is once you let go the securities of the past or the issues of the past, that you no longer have nothing there. Once you get to the point where you're reaching forth, it then gets out of your reach. And so there ain't nothing no more to hold you. Right. You're too far from it to hold on to, and yet you're not close enough yet. But yet all of your energy, all of your motion, all of your power, all of your strength must be engaged in launching forward to that will rescue you. And a whole lot of us don't understand that you can't have past and present functioning in the same tense. In other words, you're going to have to come to a point where you say, hey, I know what this past is like. I've been there, done that. I want the new. I want the improved. I want the best of what God has for me. So in order for me to experience it, I am going to have to release what I'm holding on to, because that is not going to change, because it is the past. It's past. And so when you realize that, you then have to let go and reach forward. Because if you let go and don't reach forward, then at least what you did have, what safety and security you did have in just being stagnant and, you know, stuck in a place, you go from bad then to worse. Then you start saying, well, at least. It might not have been all that, but at least it was something. Piece of biscuit has been no biscuit at all. Piece of man. Now I'm lonely. I'm by myself. Well, praise God. Now you can have a whole one, a good one, since you let the peace go. Y'all ain't got to shout, because that goes for everything in life. Too many of us are holding on to piece of blessings when God want to bless us with abundant blessings. Tell your neighbor, I'm tired of pieces. Some of y'all might like Reese's Pieces, but I like the whole stuff myself. My taste buds get mad with me trying to eat some pieces. Soon you get the taste, it is gone with the pieces. Y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. I know I'm right about it. But some of us have become so content in that lifestyle that we don't know how to live nor look for the abundance of God. Do you know what it means to have more than enough till you just get enough of it? The God I serve likes to serve us so much till we say, I'm full, Lord, I can't take no more. I'm good. Amen. Cup running over. Amen. Not that always, you think you can spare a little bit more of that. You know, I'm talking about major pieces,
yes, sir.
Portions.
Yes, sir.
That's what God wants us to have. And so it means leaving behind and reaching forth, because here is the hope that what is before you is encouraging enough to make you take that stand of faith, believing that as I launch forward, I'm going toward what God has for me.
That's right.
Listen at this word again. And he says, reach forth to that which is before me. And he puts this in a race form or metaphor. And he says, literally, I strain every nerve and every muscle. Use every ounce of my strength to win. See, that's somebody who really wants to win. They are in it
to win
it. They ain't just in it just to see how they can do and how they can fare out. They've got their eyes on the prize, and they're like, you know what? I've got tunnel vision. I'm not looking to the left nor to the right. I ain't even looking behind me. I'm looking straight forward because I want the prize. And when you do that, listen to this, you recognize that you've got to throw all of your momentum forward. Forward. One of the things, if you've ever done any track running, anything, one of the reasons why coaches will tell you don't look back, don't even look to the side, is because it changes the direction of your momentum. Just by, I mean, look, even when you are not focused on the front, all of your energies cannot be focused on the front. Here's what you need to realize. It don't matter what your other person, your competitor, is doing, because they're going to do what they're going to do. That's why you got to do what you're going to do. And if you're going to do what you're going to do, that ought to be all that you've got. Because if they're going to beat you, they're going to beat you because they're giving all they've got. If you lose, you lose because most times you did not give all you've got. And you were more concerned about who's catching up with you, who's behind you, instead of focusing your energy. Because when you turn your neck and turn your head, it slows your speed down by seconds, milliseconds, etc. And you will realize you cannot run forward looking sideways. You cannot run fast forward looking backwards.
Amen.
It's a physical impossibility to maintain top speed looking sideways and backwards.
Amen.
And more than that, you give more unnecessary attention to side issues instead of the main focus. See, there are some things in our lives that mess us up because we pay too much attention to side issues. Stuff on the side of us, stuff behind us. What has that got to do with me running and winning this race? That's behind me. That's on the side of me. All of those are distractions designed by the enemy to keep me from winning my race.
Amen.
And so you got to get to the point where you're so serious, listen to this, because what you see in the verse is a progressive intensification to win the prize. Notice as you go on reading the word, as he has moves to the next verse. He then says again, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, and then look at what verse 14 says, I press toward the mark, not away from the mark, but toward the mark. I press, which gives the illusion that every ounce of strength I've got beyond what I've already done, I try to muster up everything in me. If you've ever seen a tight race, you see folk, when they're running forward. When they're coming to the cross of the line, they're trying to lean forward. You don't see nobody running backward, leaning back. That breaks the momentum, and they're leaning forward because that's giving them more momentum. And listen, even if they can get that head across that finish line before the fella that's running straight up, they recognize that little bit, that difference can make the difference in them winning and losing. And so you've got to be so focused on what you are running for, the prize that is set before you, that you get to the point where the stuff around you just don't matter. Just don't matter.
Got to see it as a deception from the enemy. Got to see it as a distraction from the enemy. Got to see it that his desire is to destroy your winning efforts. You've got to see that because, listen, that's all of the tricks of the enemy to keep you from getting the prize. Winners understand this. Losers don't. And so it isn't until they go back and review the tape